California and strike gold. Clemson's going to the Elite Eight.
Out of bounds.
The center fielder at the wall. It's out of here. Got the distance. Does it have the accuracy?
Yo, you don't even know what stupid is. It's about to get all stupid up in here.
It's time.
All right, let's do this. Match point, touchdown, etc.
Welcome in. Glad to have you with us. We are live on the Roar on a Wednesday, August 5th, 2026. Thanks so much for joining us here on Out of Bounds. William Quagamush, Ben Milstead, we are live. Ben is live inside the Upcountry Fiber Studios. Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection. I am inside the Hotel Metropole Suisse in Como, Italy, and for one more day, we are in Italy. Flight leaves tomorrow morning, which I'm excited about. I'm excited I got to be here. I'm excited to come back, but we have one more show to do before then, and we are going to run the gamut, folks. I have a list of 10 things I think and feel about Clemson's preseason camp, and since we're not going to be on live tomorrow, we're going to have Clemson basketball on for you. The day that camp starts, we're going to go through those today. I have coaches' poll thoughts and Braves thoughts and basketball thoughts and just some odds and ends that I've just been sort of jotting notes along the way. I'm excited to talk about all that with Ben Milstead. How are you today, sir?
I am fantastic today, or fine, as the kids like to say. I'm just fine.
Great.
You are coming home tomorrow. We'll be in studio Friday, or at least that's the plan. Final day, I would imagine, and you just alluded to this, that you're ready to come home. 10 days somewhere is a long time.
It is a long time, yes. Now, I will say I've had a... It has been a joy to be here with men's basketball and get to know the new staff a little bit and, you know, get to know the players a little bit, get to hang out with support staff, and get to professionally do some unprecedented things. That's great. The cultural piece and the geographical piece of, like, going to Europe. I've never been to Europe before, never been across the Atlantic Ocean before. Doing that, trying to figure out how to adjust. And honestly, you know, we've been in Italy the entire time, but three different cities with three distinct cultures, not unlike America, but trying to figure out how to navigate those with very little direction or, you know, local knowledge, anything like that, has been really fun for me. I was intimidated by it, but it's been really fun. Today, we took a ferry. Ben, this is crazy. And I'm stealing a little thunder because it's going to come out suddenly on social media at some point. But we took a ferry to Bellagio. It was about an hour on Lake Como. And we passed, I'm going to say, no fewer than 10 eight-figure villas. Like, worth eight figures. I'm sure there were more than that we missed. One of them is owned by George Clooney. We saw sites where a half a dozen films or TV series were filmed. And we saw one that was valued at $37 million that was on the market for $33, and a Russian businessman just decided he wanted to buy it outright, so he gives $4 million more. It was that kind of day. So we go to Bellagio, and we have 50 minutes in Bellagio. The first 25 minutes of Bellagio, I haven't even given you a heads up on this. We tracked down, and I filmed a short interview with Jaron Blossomgame.
Really?
Who just happened to be in Bellagio. Some men's basketball folks took a boat yesterday and just randomly bumped into him. they exchanged messages, and he was like, yeah, I'll film something, I'll meet the team, whatever. He's going to be in Clemson this weekend with his girlfriend, I believe, who they're celebrating their one-year anniversary today. And so they just happen to be in Bellagio when Clemson men's basketball is in Como. And so most of the team got to meet him. Brad Brownell and Jerron talked for a few minutes. I got some one-on-one with Jerron. It was very cool. Do you know Jerron Blossom Game is about to start his 10th pro basketball season? He just signed for a Euro team in Dubai. How about that?
How about it? That's okay. Number one, it doesn't feel like he's been gone 10 years, but to still be playing pro ball now is quite the accomplishment.
Do you know what he said? He said he feels like he has 6 or 7 years left. And I
thanks,
like,
LeBron.
What exactly? I'm thinking, what in the world? He said, you know, I'm 30 right now. He's going to turn 31. And he's like, I can play 6 or 7 more years. Real blast from the past, super nice, super, you know, it's one of those guys that sounded like all the lessons that he learned or wish he would have learned 10 years ago, he's learned them all fully now. Like one of those who more, not that he didn't appreciate before, but more fully appreciates the college experience and some of the things that Brad Brownell and the staff instilled in him and that kind of stuff. After 10 years in the G League and in the NBA and playing overseas. Just awesome. So, random men's basketball happenings there. He played on a Lithuanian team that – or wait. Let me back up. He played on a team – I can't remember exactly where, but he knew David Fuchs. He knew him from, like, David was with the U16 or whatever as a youngster, and Jerron was playing for the pro team, whatever franchise that was, in Austria or Germany. I can't remember exactly which. They made the connection, and so they got to chat a little bit. It was really fun. So, oh, and his girlfriend was a dancer for the team that Lataris Levičius played on in Lithuania. So we made a lot of connections today. That was really fun. Lake Como is beautiful, and Bellagio was beautiful, and today just has been it's been great. But I'm ready to come back home. Ben, I want to give an update after getting that out of the way. I want to give an update on the runners situation. I don't know if you heard this. The first segment that I had with Sam yesterday, I noted that half of the runners I've seen on this entire trip, like people running for any reason in Italy or Switzerland, happened in the 3.5 or 4 hours we were in Switzerland yesterday. I saw my 11th runner today. I've seen 11 individuals running for any reason in now 10 days, and I guess maybe 9 days on the ground in Italy. And that is just astounding to me. It was 2 days before I saw any, and so I decided to keep track. 11. Does that surprise you at all? Are you like, Qualk, obviously we know the culture. Italians are anti-running. We've known that for 1,000 years.
Look, we ain't come here for no exercise. Now, not everybody that you're seeing are tourists. So I get it, but I would imagine if I'm a tourist there, I really enjoy exercising. Got to be honest, would not be very high on my list.
I will tell you that, I mean, a lot of like Rome and Florence, there were a ton of bikes. So there's exercise that way. We have stayed in 3 hotels. They are nice hotels. No gym. No workout room at all. I've not been to the gym in weeks. I gotta get back to the gym. Gym culture, not really a thing here. In fact, I found out, I think it was yesterday maybe, that there's someone on the trip who has been a yoga instructor before, and she offered to do a yoga class sort of in the hallway outside the team room, and she got yelled at in Italian by, she says, every member of the hotel staff. while she was trying to lead like a 30-minute yoga class just to stretch before one of the games. They don't have space to work out.
So they're anti-workout then.
Yes, they are. It's not like that. It's not that they don't lean into workout culture. They're just like, we'd rather smoke cigarettes and vape and ride bikes, and we think that's good enough. And you know what? Maybe it is. Maybe we're doing it so wrong in America. I did another thing today, Ben. I ate at McDonald's. I hadn't done that, but I was told that it tastes a little different, so I was curious to find out. It turns out it tasted very much like McDonald's. It was oddly comforting. Didn't eat quite as much as I would have at home. Didn't eat quite the same thing I would have at home, but it was oddly comforting. And I need to know, before we take our first break and get into more pressing matters, are you disappointed in me that I took one of the very precious few meals I have remaining, along with another, I'm going to say, a shall-remain-nameless member of the travel party, and went to eat at McDonald's?
You know, I am not, because I'm sure you've had lots of great Italian food while you've been there, but just a taste of home, there's nothing like it. When I went to the Dominican a couple of years ago, we ate at a Wendy's in the airport in, I believe it was Atlanta, and it was the best Big Dave's burger I'd ever had in my life, because I had missed that for a week. So, no, that's fine. Temperature-wise, where are you today?
99.
You,
it ain't budging.
So it was 69 on my way to work this morning. Quark, we've had all the seasons here in the upstate in the last 24 hours, by the way, including a small hurricane apparently last night. A ton of flooding in Clemson. I got called outside for a couple minutes at my house in Anderson, and I've taken showers with less water pressure than the rain. It was unbelievable how much rain fell in a short period of time. It was hot yesterday, and then it a little hint of fall this morning. So you got that to look forward to.
Feels like football practice is right around the corner.
Yeah,
truly.
Yeah, where you're going to have 60s and high 60s and high 90s all in the same day.
It's a beautiful thing. I'm sure it'll be 90s when I get back. I'm sure tomorrow night when we land, or tomorrow afternoon, it'll be a crispy 97. Because that's what it is every day.
Well, they are talking about, you know, heat returning for the weekend. So I got a feeling you're going to be inside this weekend, my friend. Just, chilling.
I might be napping, trying to figure out which time zone I'm in. That might be. Last night, so not a funny story at all about, but, you know, it's like 1 a.m. here, 7 p.m. at home. And my wife texted me after 1, like I'm getting ready to wind it down. And she's like, hey, the power went out at the house. And so I'm like, okay, because I've got the app to just make sure that the company knows, like, hey, we got to fix this. I was stressed about it. Like, I woke up a couple times just to check. And it wasn't out long. It was like an hour and a half. But I was it stressed me out, man. I'm ready to be home just so I can, like, look problems in the face.
Yeah.
Instead of trying to face them 4,500 miles from home. But there was, I saw like the picture everybody's sharing of downtown Clemson, and I've seen several videos of people's yards and their Ring doorbells and all kinds of stuff. Like it seemed like it was a lot for a lot of people, the rain and the weird weather yesterday.
Yeah, there was some flooding on campus, in buildings and things too. But yeah, it was typical summer, but it was atypical rain. I mean, just really, really, really hard. And so hopefully everybody out there's good.
A texter from the 864 says had to shelter down at a QT for 20 minutes. That is that's a long time to be just chilling in a hurricane.
Walking from your car into a house, you would have had to change clothes when you got inside. It was that hard.
That's unbelievable. When we come back, I've got thoughts. We briefly touched on the coaches poll yesterday. I have thoughts on the coaches poll. I have questions about number one. I wonder what questions you have, Ben Milstead. What questions you have out there in the world? And you got a lot of questions. I don't love the coaches poll, but for all the reasons that we talk about anything in the offseason, we're going to spend way too much time talking about the coaches poll. 654 Roar is the number if you'd like to join us. Hour one of the program continues right after this.
There's nothing like a Saturday in Death Valley. Howard's Rock, running down the hill, the roar of 80,000 fans. This season, there are more ways than ever to experience Clemson football. The Stacks bring easy tailgating just steps from the stadium. Savor upscale food and drink at the Champions tailgate. And introducing Paw Pass, the most affordable, flexible way to enjoy game day. This is where memories are made. Get your tickets today at clemsontigers.com/tickets.
Business owners, listen up here for a moment. You need to spice up your waiting room. Some common areas in your building, maybe your door, your office front. Give Katazoom a call. It's so much more enjoyable. It looks so much better than if you just decided to simply paint or something like that. We've just recently done sort of a cityscape in one of the rooms here in the building, working on our studio now, and we called Katazoom, KATAZOOM. Katazoom is in Greer. We've worked with these guys for a long time, and I called and just gave them actually emailed them. Is like, hey, this is what we're thinking. What do you think? What can you come up with? A couple of quick revisions later, we knew exactly what we were getting. We knew what it was going to look like in the space. Incredibly affordable, hung professionally. It looks fantastic. It took a $10 space and made it look like a $1,000 space. I mean, it really just will transform your office. These are the guys to call if you have any thoughts like that at all. KATAZOOM, katazoom.com.
We make traffic a little more tolerable. The Upstate Sports Leader.
That's right.
The Roar.
William from Scores Jewelers. There are a lot of events in life that are memorable, but certain moments are milestones and need to be commemorated. A marriage, the birth of a child, an anniversary or birthday. These are special markers in a life well lived that deserve a little more recognition. Whether you've discovered the person that makes you feel alive or your little one is ready to graduate, Scores Jewelers can help you find the perfect symbol of your feelings and commitment. Show those you love how much these moments means with a gift that will last a lifetime from Scores Jewelers. I invite you to Scores Jewelers, where we specialize in helping you say, I love you. I'm William Nichols, and I want to be your jeweler.
If you are a realtor in the upstate of South Carolina, I want to help you close more deals. And here's how I can do that. I'm Mike, I'm the owner of One Tom Plumber, and we are already working with realtors in your area doing the same exact thing. We're the go-to plumbing crew for realtors all across the state of South Carolina because we provide a free same-day quote based on your home inspection report.
Just dial the number one, then Tom Plumber. That's their name. That's their number.
Call the plumber whose name is his number one, Tom Plumber. One Tom Plumber.
There's a certain look to a home that's been done right. From the streets of the upstate to the neighborhoods of Northeast Georgia and Western North Carolina, we call that a Dolly's Roof. Dolly's Roofing is bringing their master elite craftsmanship and incredible curb appeal full-time to the Electric City. Give your home the protection and the look it deserves from the upstate's most trusted team. Upgrade to a Dolly's Roof today. Call 864-882.
Glad to have you with us. 654-ROAR is the number if you'd like to join us. The Adams Corfing text line, the Pratt Injury Lawyers phone lines. Ben, the coaches poll came out literally, I think, as Brad Brownell was walking up the stairs to join us yesterday. And I've got to say, I had lots of questions. I didn't even get to really look at it that close. But I've lots of questions about this coaches poll. Really starting from the top, but I want to start with Clemson, though, first. Were you surprised that Clemson was included in this poll at all at 23?
I guess I was, Gwok. You do have to stop and think, okay, somebody's got to be in the top 25. And it is a school that I believe I read it. It's the lowest they've been since 2011 in a preseason. So, you know, they have been a mainstay in top 25 polls. for, you know, at least since then. But I couldn't help but wonder if Clemson would have been ranked had they not been opening with LSU on an ESPN game.
Oh, I love that one, Ben. We love the good conspiracy theory. That happens once a year, doesn't it? Some week one game that the team just nudges its way up into the poll and it just so happens to coincide with a big matchup. Yeah, I kind of feel the same way. You know, I saw Clemson fans getting after Tom Fornelli from CBS Sports Cover 3 podcast. He's had an issue with Clemson. He had an issue all year. Didn't buy him at the start of the year last year. Didn't buy him at all and continued to not buy him and basically danced on Clemson's grave a lot of the year. Now, I like Tom. Tom is a bit curmudgeon-y, but I think Tom does a good job. Tom Fornelli did a video, and it was a little bit long and kind of just, if we played it, it would just make everyone really angry. So I'm not even going to try to play it right now. But essentially what he said is, you mean the Clemson team that went 7-6, that lost to the lifeless corpse of Penn State, that lost to Syracuse, that, you know, lost all these home games, that squandered, you know, whatever, haven't been in a playoff but one time in the last 6 years. You mean that team just had to find their way in the poll? Yes. He made so many really good points. And, like, Clemson fans are crushing this guy, okay? But I watched this video. I thought, you know what? These are really good points for this reason. Clemson, and I'm going to make this point at the top of the poll too, part of the thing that happens in these preseason polls that I think is just it's going to happen is that when in doubt, you just fill with placeholders. Like, Ben, the point you made is great. Somebody has to be at the bottom of this poll. So if you run out of teams that you feel passionately about at 21, you got to fill four spots. You don't feel passionately about anybody. Well, Clemson's been ranked almost every year, right? I mean, they were ranked every year until last year for 100 years. So you just put them in there. It's like the Miami placeholder. Oh, we're going to put Miami at 10 forever. Like, they hadn't done anything. But, oh, we're going to put them at 10. They still recruit great. You know, there's always these placeholder teams. And to Tom Fornelli, there's this, I would say, a point-counterpoint here where Fornelli's point is basically this. And it's a frustration that we had with Notre Dame for years. It's a frustration that we had with Miami for years. It's a frustration we had with Florida State for years. It's a frustration that we've had with Georgia in the past. It's a frustration that we have with all of these big brands that just feel like they're not achieving right now. Texas definitely is filled. Who can forget the Notre Dame and Texas are both back where neither made a bowl game? Like, who can forget that week one game? But, Ben, there is a legitimate question. Are we ever going to truly penalize Clemson for having stepped backwards as a program? And there are people all over the country who see Clemson at 23, and they feel the same way that we have felt about Miami and Florida State and Notre Dame and Texas A&M and Texas and Southern Cal over the last, I don't know, I've been paying attention to this 20, 25 years, where years after, it's clear that these teams have achieved. People don't put them there, but they still put them in there because, like, oh, they've still got a little bit. And it felt like they were never truly penalized. And what that I think, is a frustration for some people. Are you buying what I'm selling there, that Clemson is a placeholder and the frustration is that there are folks who want them to be truly penalized for having a down, bad season last year?
Yeah. I would say it's not crazy where they are. You asked me if I was surprised that they were in. I wondered if they would be penalized more. After all, it was an underachieving team last year that now has a new quarterback and a rebuilt defense. And I mean, there would have been a lot of reasons to perhaps leave them out. However, I don't know who I, right off the top of my head, who I would have put in instead of them. That's the, you know, maybe a Vanderbilt, maybe somebody, I don't know. I think I would say Clemson being in the 22 to 30 range feels about right to me. When I said I was surprised, I actually thought they might be penalized more. And for those upset that they're in the top 25, I mean, being 23, you're basically, you're hit or miss whether or not you are to begin with. I would say that's a pretty strong penalty, actually.
I agree with that. That would be my argument there, is that 23 is well lower than Clemson's bench, well lower than they were last year. And the only – I mean, I'm looking at that team. You mentioned Vanderbilt. The only team that I'm looking at that's not in the poll that I'm thinking, you know, maybe they get a little bit – even if you don't care about them, but you give them a little bit based on the season they had last year, I think Louisville not being in the poll, even though they were just 5 points behind Missouri, I think Louisville should be a preseason top 25 team in my view. Florida's right behind Louisville. I don't think Florida should. I'm not sure TCU has a great argument to get in there. I would say maybe Illinois. You could put Illinois in there instead. Maybe Virginia or Vanderbilt because of the seasons they had last year, and maybe there's a little more returning there, although more so maybe for Virginia than for – well, really both teams lost a lot. But you're right. Like, are people standing on – like, you're mad about Clemson. Are you standing on the table for TCU or South Carolina or Arizona or even Virginia, Auburn, Georgia Tech, Boise State? No, you're really not. Clemson is the team when you run out of gas, when you're like, I don't – all right, I got to find some more teams. Clemson is going to be the first team that you put in there because they still have a little bit of weight and they still have a little bit of momentum from when they were going to the playoff every year.
I am a little surprised. I'm actually a lot surprised that Louisville did not get in. That's one of the teams from a conference standpoint. Like, you could make an argument for Louisville over Clemson if somebody's got to come out and somebody's got to go in. I don't know. There were several teams though that were just. I'm not sure if they're even in the I'm not sure if they're in the right category, if they're in the right groupings of teams. And you know, Alabama is another one. Actually, Alabama is the first one that came to mind as to like what is it about Alabama that makes them just outside the top 10? I'm really not sure. Or LSU at 13, listen, this is not an LSU-Clemson comment. It's just simply with the amount of turnover at LSU, including the head coach, you're guessing more than perhaps any other team on this list that they're going to be halfway decent. Like, what are you basing that off of? I don't know.
I think Alabama's in an interesting group. Because Oklahoma, Ole Miss, Alabama, Texas Tech, they're all within about 70 points. And I'm going to give a little bit of a gap and say Texas A&M's a little above Oklahoma, but you could throw Texas A&M in that group too, where I think they are right not to be in that tier above them. I think that's true. I would say Alabama probably should be knocked down a group, but these are all programs with major question marks somewhere along the line. Like, for Texas A&M, it's going to be it's going to be schedule tougher, okay, that they had a little bit of an easier schedule. Oklahoma's going to be Mateer's health. Is he going to just run himself into a brick wall somewhere and miss some games, and what do you do? Ole Miss is coaching, period, end of story. Alabama is it's going to sound crazy when I say this. Alabama's going to be roster and does the coach fit, which makes you think that I'm describing a 4-8 team. But I, you know, if you say like, well, the problem with Alabama is the players and the coaches, well, then you're like, okay, well, they're probably not winning any. But yeah, I think people understand what I mean. Texas Tech is quarterback, and then you get to LSU, and the question about LSU is none of these guys know each other. They're gonna have to wear name tags still in 2 weeks to try to figure out who everybody is. So that's kind of some of the issue with the coaches poll. People are mad at Clemson at 23. But there are legitimate questions about 8 and 12, like whether they should be top 10 or top 15, top 20, whatever. That's kind of just the realm we operate in right now. I agree with you. I think Alabama is too high. I don't know why Alabama is getting sort of the historical benefit of the doubt, because I know Texas Tech has issues at quarterback, but Texas Tech's roster, this is going to sound crazy, is better than Alabama's, and their schedule is way easier than Alabama's is. There's no reason in the world to pick Texas Tech behind Alabama, in my opinion.
Could you not say Alabama, LSU, Michigan, Clemson, all benefactors of their name right now in where they are ranked? I mean, all of those, you could argue, are too high. You know, now, but then again,
yes,
you have a team like BYU at 15. Hey, I wanted to clap for the coaches poll for recognizing that BYU's going to be a good team. Penn State's another one at 17. That one might be the most surprising of everything on the poll for me.
Okay, Penn State, I'm glad you brought this up. Penn State is, and I need to preface, I hate the, like, all the caveats, okay? I love Matt Campbell. I think Matt Campbell's an excellent coach. I think Matt Campbell is going to do a really good job at Penn State. I truly do. Ben, the best players in Penn State's program are either from a team that lost a million games and fired their coach, or from a team that was not ranked last year. Penn State is the ultimate example of what you're talking about. Penn State wasn't ranked. Iowa State wasn't ranked. But we're going to put the best Iowa State players with, like, the middle part of that Penn State roster, and we're going to make a top 20 team out of that? Now, their schedule, along with Texas Tech, their schedule is really easy, particularly Big Ten. They miss all the big ones, for the most part, in the Big Ten. But I do not understand the Penn State. I'm like, okay, Iowa State has some good players, but are they top 20? Because if they were top 20, wouldn't they have had a better season last year at Iowa State? I don't get that one at all. I'm glad you see it too. I would not have ranked Penn State. I would have made Penn State prove it, because I just don't understand the formula here.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
All right, let's take a break. 654-ROAR is the number. We'll get back to this, including my question about number one. I think Ohio State is a placeholder here, and I'm going to break this down in a moment. Stay with us. Hour one continues after the break.
Upset you missed a show today? No problem. We've got you covered with every hour of every show on our podcast page at theroarfm.com.
Touchdown!
And on the Roar app. Download it today.
You know, I'm glad to come home. I said I was. I know very well how to play the South Carolina Education Lottery. It's very easy. Pratt Injury Lawyers phone lines. I'm live in Como, Italy. Ben Milstead back in the Upcountry Fiber Studios. Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection. Text from the 614. Read a couple texts here. Dabo gets Clemson in the top 25. I agree. Like, there's a lot of people down on Dabo, but again, you're going to use program track record to try to break those ties when you're trying to slot teams. And it's hard to figure out, I got to put 25 teams in this poll. The people that vote in these always say how hard it is to put 25 teams in a poll, and it is true. It's very true. That's 100% correct. Mitch says, as a Clemson fan, I don't think we should be in the top 25, and I'm optimistic for the season. We went 7-6 last year, and we have a new, extremely unproven QB. I am curious this question, and I don't want to do a poll officially on it because I think the results would be skewed. I don't think it would help us. Ben, before we get to Ohio State, I just want to throw this out. I may try to flesh this out later. This is a thought that I had literally like 30 minutes before the show today. I'm just jotting some things down. I'm reading some stuff. And I just had this thought. You know, the Fornelli clip has got me thinking about this, where he's sort of like highlighting, wait, really? We're going to rank that team from last year that lost all those draft picks and was terrible? I feel like Clemson fans are in a very similar spot that they were last year. And that they've basically, there's been passing in the night as the national folks that got really high on Clemson last year have tanked. A lot of national folks have tanked their thoughts on Clemson this year to different degrees. But I feel like it's a similar sentiment from the fan base, and maybe even a little optimism, maybe because expectations are lower. Maybe the fans are a little higher, oddly, on this team because they saw weaknesses and had questions. We've talked about that many times. What is your sense of it? I know I'm just kind of dropping this in your lap. Maybe we need some more time, and I'd love to talk about it more on Friday. But what is your initial thought on that, that maybe Clemson's fan base is actually higher in a way that the national media that really thought Clemson was going to achieve last year and wasn't asking the questions that we were sort of having to talk about locally, what do you make of that, that the national folks are now sort of overreacting and that Clemson fans are sort of the even-keel voices in the room right now?
It is something I am not used to. I'm not used to getting texts from Clemson fans complaining that Clemson is ranked. That's not that's not how this works, people. Y'all have lost your way. You've forgotten your identity.
Oh, man.
But, I mean, I'm somewhat joking there. One thing I'll tell you is Clemson and Penn State in particular were hyped so much last year, and the national people, and none of us like to be wrong, but the national people feel burned. And, fool me once, shame on you kind of a thing, right? I think that's some of it at play. Texter asked a great question, and I wanted to confirm, talking about how many teams started in the top 25, finished in the top 25 last year. 52% that started in the top 25 were out. Let's see. Maybe it could be the other way around. It was 13 teams. 13
of the. You're talking about. Yeah.
13 of the original top 25 were still ranked. So there were 12 preseason top 25. This, I'm using the AP poll here. We're actually talking about the coaches poll, but the. I found it easier in the AP. Penn State, Clemson, LSU, Arizona State, Illinois, South Carolina, Florida, SMU, K-State, Iowa State, Tennessee, and Boise State all were in the top 25 at the beginning of the season and were not at the end of the season. So, you know, it is – I've heard other shows talking about this week as well, that how – difficult it is in today's era of football to do rankings in a preseason. And, you know, for those who are going to text and say, well, we shouldn't rank teams, it doesn't hurt anything, people. I mean, it doesn't hurt anything. It gives us something to talk about. It generates interest. I mean, it doesn't hurt anything. But it is also, you have to sort of take it now with a grain of salt more than ever, because as we're talking about, you know, LSU, for instance, they didn't spend $50 million on bad players, but how fast are they together, and how, you know, are they the right pieces? I just don't think you truly know until the season starts.
I totally agree. Now, my argument all the time is, you know, I had this argument with my wife the other day where she was like, they shouldn't even do preseason polls. And I'm like, well, somebody's making them. Like, I've got 3 preseason magazines. They made a poll. Like, just because the AP doesn't make one doesn't mean we're not going to rank teams. I think there are some people that think, well, if the AP doesn't make rankings and no one's making rankings, then we're going to have no idea what's happening beforehand. That's not how it works. We're like, the culture that we live in, the sports talk culture that we have, is not going to just let us go in with no information. If that were true, we'd just take January through August off from football talk. We wouldn't talk about it at all. And nobody wants that. So, well, some of y'all might want that. I don't want that, certainly. I think most of y'all don't want that. So, yeah, I don't think this hurts anything. If Clemson loses to LSU, they won't be ranked. That's it. And then everybody will get their wish, and then they'll win a couple games, and they'll get ranked again. Like, the rankings, by and large, we will nitpick the issues, but most of the teams ranked we have no problem with when these polls start coming out. And we're so smart now with analytics that we have a better way to gauge rankings based on how good you actually are, like how well you're playing possession by possession. We have rankings and numbers that let us do that. Which I'm grateful for that. It's a helpful thing.
Let me ask you this before we go back to the phones here. The top five They have Ohio State, Oregon, Georgia, Texas, Notre Dame. Are those the correct top five? And if not, who should and should not be there?
It's an interesting question. I have not solidified. I think the top seven are correct. I think those are the top seven teams, okay, with Ohio State, Oregon, Georgia, Texas, Notre Dame, Indiana, Miami. Here's what I think has happened, because somebody pointed out Indiana is sixth with 14 first-place votes, okay? All of the top six have first-place votes, all right? Indiana actually has the second-most first-place votes behind Ohio State. This tells me that nobody knows nothing, okay? Nobody knows anything, and so Ohio State is the placeholder. And how do I know that? Because I got lots of questions about Ohio State. They've got three tough road games on their schedule, including at Texas early in the season. They lost eight starters off of defense. They have a new offensive coordinator. Last year, they pummeled all the teams that weren't very good except Texas, who they beat like 4-3. Remember that? No one scored in the whole game ever. But they lost, like, they didn't play anybody. They really did. Like, the Michigan team, come on. Nobody respected them. Illinois, no, they just rolled off the bus and won that game. But they're going to have to actually go and win, like, battles this year. They may have to do that at Southern Cal if they're as good as they think. And, you know, at Indiana, they're going to have to, you know, win at Texas this year. It's going to be difficult. But they're just number one. Because no one wants to put Oregon number one. Oregon's got some issues and questions and has never really been at that level, not in recent years. Georgia has questions, I think. Now, honestly, if you're asking me, I've got fewer questions about Georgia, because the weaknesses Georgia has are the weaknesses Georgia always has, and they always sit about here. So I'm not as worried about Georgia. Texas, Sark going to be able to do it. They got a lot of talent in the door, but I got some questions. Notre Dame, really easy schedule. I think Notre Dame probably is a little too low at five, honestly. And then Indiana's the defending national champions. Kurt Cignetti's lost, what, one game in 2 years? And they got six?
Yeah, they're the team that, you know, I don't know what order we put them in, but based off of what they have returning and what they built last year, they should be in the top five. You know, we start talking about pedigree here. And the benefits that come along with that, if Georgia or Oregon or Ohio State would have done what, in you know, just reverse those logos on the helmets, Indiana's easily one or two in the preseason.
Yeah, I think I would have Notre Dame one, Indiana two, Ohio State three. I may change my mind next week, but just first blush, I think that's what I would do. And maybe have Georgia 4 and Texas 5 and Oregon 6 and Miami 7. Maybe even Oregon a little higher and Miami a little – or, excuse me, Texas a little lower – Oregon, excuse me, a little lower on that. But to me, the top three, Ohio State, Notre Dame, Indiana, I think I have more questions about Ohio State. I really do. Let's go to Bengal John, who's up with us next as we wrap up hour one of the program. 654-ROAR, you want to join him on the Pratt Injury Lawyers phone lines. Hey, John.
Hey, Quack. Hey, Ben. Thanks for taking my call. I hope you're enjoying your trip over there, Quack. I've heard a lot of things that you've been talking about, so I know you've seen some great things and love hearing about it, and so, you know, great opportunity for you. I know that's been a really special trip, and everybody that has filled in for you in your absence when you weren't on the radio has obviously done a great job, and we all love your show. So thanks for taking my call, guys.
Thank you, John.
I'm going to ask a question, and I hope it's not unfair. I'm going to label it unfair, but I think this is something that I would love to hear you guys address, because I'd like to hear what the direction you're going to take if this does happen. Prior to Dabo Swinney, what has he been there now, 11 years, or has it been longer than that? Is it 15, 11, what is it?
This will be 17? I have to do the math. 18 years.
17 or 18, yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Prior to that, I think you guys would agree, Clemson was not a national, I mean, they were a national brand, but they weren't nationally recognized. They didn't have the kind of record that Dabo Swinney has been able to produce along with his staff during his tenure. And there have been some hiccups during that tenure, but for the most part, it's been a pretty stellar record. No arguing that. what happens, and I don't think it will, but what if we kind of reverted back to, you know, the 7-win, 8-win, maybe 6-6, something like that? What if that becomes a pattern based on what we've seen the last 2 years? Do you think you start searching for new avenues? In other words, if this season is not what it's thought to be with the potential, kind of like last year, all those great players that went to the NFL, there were tremendously high expectations. What happens if that happens this year, and then maybe do you start looking at a different direction? Do you start does the university go, well, maybe we do need to make a change? Because I keep hearing, you know, the Dabo can stay as long as he wants. I mean, that, he's not going anywhere, and he feels comfortable, and the university feels comfortable with him. Do you think there would be a consideration for a change, or do you think it would just kind of hopefully correct itself?
It's a great question. I appreciate the phone call.
Yeah, John, you're asking if Dabo is going to be on the hot seat if they go 7-6 again. Yes, is the answer. Yes, 100%.
Yes. We'll talk about that and much more when we return. Hour 2 of the program is up next.
WCCP-FM 105.5 Clemson. Greenville Anderson. WAHT-AM 1560. Cowpens. 97.5 Spartanburg. We are the Roar.
From the locker room to your living room.
A lot of guys don't play good.
Sports talk is on the Roar.
Twin Peaks is the best game in town. Here, your favorite drafts are poured at a frosty 29 degrees and a rare